we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with an entry from the 2006 Cardiff Telephone Directory, read by Peter Donaldson.
Minimix Limited Ready Mixed Concrete, covering the whole of South Wales.
Our thanks to Martin Jeeves of Cardiff for sending that in. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Fred McCauley. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toksvig. Andy, whose performance turned out to be a judicious and not punchy affair?
Well, this week saw the Tory leadership race decided, I'm a non-entity, get me into there. Actually, that's a bit unfair. That joke probably worked last week, but he's not really an entity anymore. David Cameron became an entity when he faced up to Blair at Prime Minister's Question Time. And he has said, hasn't he, that he wants to move away from a sort of Punch and Judy version of Prime Minister's Question Time. Personally, I think it should be more like Punch and Judy. I think if they both bashed each other with long planks of wood and someone lobbed in a crocodile, that would make it a lot more watchable. Well, I mean, he's made quite a good start, I think, quite an impression. A few questions still to be answered about him. Like, what does he polish his face with?
They were banging on about his being the first Etonian since Alec Douglas Hume.
Do you know that Eton gets £2,500 a year from the Common Agricultural Policy? Did you see the Common Agricultural Policy? Did you see that? And they phoned up Eton and said, what'd you get the £2,500 for? Are you, like, setting aside some boys, or what's happening? And they said, oh, we don't know, we must find out. And
so we got a fag mountain, so.
Oh. I think it's more likely to be an uncommon agricultural policy.
I'd noticed that Tony Blair completely forgot to welcome David Cameron when he stepped up to the dispatch box, and I wasn't really surprised. I mean, he sees a new face every week.
I'm not quite sure what this consensual politics is going to be like. It sounds a bit raunchy.
What is the new thing as soon as they go and meet the people they take their ties off? Are they scared somebody's going to garrote them? What is that?
Youthful new Tory leader David Cameron won his spurs this week after bamboozling Tony Blair at the dispatch box by the cunning method of agreeing with just about everything he said. Many Tories were amazed at Hayes' decision to return to the front bench, giving up a massive £600,000 a year income. Who knew he was moonlighting as a plumber? 2 points to Andy. Fred, whose extraordinary renditions have failed to win applause in Europe?
Condoleezza Rice is over-explaining the new American reality TV show. It's a bit like Takeshi's Castle meets National Lottery Jet Set. You've got a bunch of Americans and they fly around the world and every week they phone in and they convince Eamon Holmes that they know what they're talking about, and they get some questions wrong, they get a happy slapping.
There's something sort of pleasingly naive about the CIA. I like them a lot, really. They captured this man, Khalid Masri, because they thought his name sounded familiar. And one of the women operatives said she had a hunch. In fact, he was a perfectly innocent man on holiday. And then when they finally realised that he was just a perfectly innocent man, they took him to Albania and dropped him in a road by a wood and said, don't look back. And he, like, oh, well, that I completely forget who you were now.
The CIA package holiday.
Is that what he did?
Go on holiday and come back as a package.
Yeah.
I didn't know what extraordinary rendition was. It sounds like a Cranky's cover version of Handel's Messiah. But what does extraordinary rendition mean?
Well, there's only two. I mean, rendition is a song. I don't think there's a musical element in this story.
Is tearing in half.
What about that stuff you used to put on the walls that made it all bobbly? That was a kind of rendition. If you were drunk and fell across the wall, it scraped your face off. Do you remember?
The I don't know if the same has applied down here, but the Scottish air traffic controllers have been warned that in future they could be found guilty of aiding and abetting if it is found that these non-existent flights, which have maybe landed in Scotland, turn out to maybe have contained prisoners who then went on perhaps to have been interrogated. And
Spoken too crossly.
You just imagine the air traffic control. Hello, is that the captain there of that flight that doesn't exist? Did you pack that prisoner yourself? Could anyone have interfered with your prisoner?
US Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has spent much of her tour of Europe this week seeking to justify America's use of extraordinary renditions, secret CIA flights believed to be used to transport terror detainees to so-called ghost sites in Eastern Europe and the Middle East for questioning. It's shocking to see the US Secretary of State justifying what many regard as torture. That's normally Dick Cheney's job. Alan, listen to this. What do I do to make you want me? What have I got to do to be heard? What do I say when it's all over? Sorry seems to be the hardest word. Elton John, and the question is not about civil partnerships.
It's about... Oh, it's not. It was about me and Sandy, who are going through a form of marriage.
Yeah.
Not one easily describable.
It's going to be like any other marriage, Alan. I've explained that to you. We're not going to have sex, and we're going to sit in bed and eat burgers. It'll be lovely.
We've done that.
Oh, yeah, we have actually.
It was to...
several times.
I forgot.
Times.
That's yeah. very bad. Mm. It was magic, honest. It really is.
Always remember the first burger. Okay. Simon, you have a question, which is not the one I expected.
Alan, whose not-so-sorry forecast left clouds over his future.
Is this Gordon Brown?
It is.
Who said, we're going to have 3.5% growth, but it's only going to be 1.75 now, so he's half the man he thought he was, which is something most of us always believed about Gordon Brown. Gordon's going to be 57 by the time Cameron gets out of nappies, and it will be very hard for him to combat him. So... nobody's going to love him. What does he have to do?
Do you not think he needs some kind of hair product? I worry about that bit there, the bit that goes just like a pig's tail in front of his... He's going on about we'll have no money and we'll have no... And you're just thinking, just push that back.
He found an extraordinary new wrinkle, though, to exploit, which he said that they're going to raise some revenue from what are called dormant accounts. Now, I've not heard this concept before of dormant money.
It's money that belongs to other people.
It's money, yeah. It's money that happens not to be doing anything. And God just says, it's been sitting in your account rather a long time there. It's obviously dormant. Looks pretty dozy. And it's the thin end of the wedge, I think. We could discover that the whole economy is dormant. And that Gordon just snaffles it all. That'd be rather...
Well, you know that change you leave at the side of the bed for parking meters?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to wake up in the morning, he's not going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
These dormant £1 coins will have vanished.
Do you suppose all the post office savings of everybody subject to extraordinary rendition will suddenly become a dormant...
The small print of the Chancellor's budget statement showed an economic growth downturn. And the same small print also warns that Gordon Brown's chances of becoming Prime Minister may go down as well as up, and his political career may be at risk if he fails to keep up the repayments. At the end of round one, the scores are, everybody, 4 points. And we start round two with a cutting from the Granada Learning website.
Users can make their own movies with this low-cost, designed-for-children digital blue movie creator.
Oh, thanks to Keith Grosset for spotting that. Andy, why has December the 21st got a certain ring to it?
It's a Tuesday.
I'll give you 21st. 1 point for that.
Well, Fred knows the answer. I can see he's got that all right.
Pink shirt on.
It's what?
Shirt.
Shirt.
The word is shirt.
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 The first word was pink. And the second was shirt for anyone without a digital radio.
Right. But the story's nothing to do with pink shirts.
It's to do with be civil to him.
Oh, is it? It's when they start the civil ceremonies for gay couples, which is fantastic. I think that's excellent.
I'm hoping that heterosexual couples can get it as well.
Get what?
A civil partnership.
Well, what are the
Things aren't going well at home.
All right. Well, if you just... You just have to be civil. That's all. That's the only answer.
Well, it's a partnership bit that's not working out.
No, I think it's a good law. The only thing is, I think that it should be slightly amended to say that all gay couples can marry apart from Elton John. Purely because when Elton John gets hitched, we're all going to suffer. That's going to be weeks and months of...
There are florists out there buying second homes as we speak. Can you imagine?
George Michael's also getting married, isn't he?
Who's George Michael getting married to?
Some bloke. It would be a great thing for him. Do you remember he was arrested in Los Angeles for committing a homosexual act on his own? Which I never worked out.
Well, he's a better man than I am.
The Civil Partnerships Act has been welcomed by gay rights groups as couples have for the first time registered to marry from December the 21st. Gay couples now have near equality with heterosexual married couples, though they won't know true married life, since they will never row about whether the toilet seat should be up or down.
Do you know you can buy a little device now? It's a little tiny thing like that.
Rings.
Put it in the loo. Yeah. And if the boy pushes the seat up, it says, I hope you're not going to leave it like that.
Why, I've always wondered this. Why is it such a big deal for you have to take the toilet seat down, but not for us to have to put it up?
Because it looks disgusting, darling. So if you cleaned under the rim, I wouldn't mind. And what is it? You've got an instrument to aim with. How complicated can it be?
Fred, what's the government's latest wheeze for 16-year-olds?
It's to raise the age limit for buying cigarettes. Mm-hmm. From 16 to 18. Kids under the legal age spend over £100 million on cigarettes.
Pocket money's gone up, hasn't it?
That money is now dormant.
Oh, sorry. I'd like to see more children smoking a pipe.
Girls.
Well, it's just that they're a devil to keep alight. And there's a lot of fiddling with a pipe, isn't there? And there's a lot of standing around going, anyway, my point is, and I think... you wouldn't get the yobbish behaviour. They're too busy tapping it out on their heel and fiddling with those little things you then make into horses. Pipe cleaners. I know what I'm talking about. They'd start wearing tweeds with little leather things on their elbow. You wouldn't get them hanging around in sweatshirts trying to get into the Blue Water shopping centre. You wouldn't. They'd be standing in front of the fire, rubbing their bottoms and going, oh, my sciatica is really not.
I have to tell you something about the youth, Sandy.
Yeah.
Because I live in an area where they do it. They all smoke pipes.
Do they?
What they have in those pipes.
Yeah, the crack's great. I believe that in the last week there has been a rush in technical departments at schools from kids wanting to take a technical course so that the sir can teach them how to make a bong.
Make a what?
A bong.
I'm sorry, I thought you said bomb.
He'd have been shot by an air marshal.
When Gordon Brown's Prime Minister. You're not going to understand a word he says, are you?
He'll be passing laws making short, fat people illegal, and I won't
you
know.
Want... I've been... You want Cameron in so you can understand what he says.
I like a consonant. I can't help it.
Have you thought about moving to Wales?
What did he say?
The government is considering raising the minimum legal age for buying cigarettes and tobacco from 16 to 18. The proposal has been condemned by youngsters across the country, led by David Cameron. 2 points there. Sandy, listen to this. Money! It's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash. A new car can be our four star daydream. Think of money at the ball. Sandy, who's held up a mirror to financial journalism?
This is these boys, these tipsters, for the alleged newspaper, Daily Mirror. And these boys wanted to, I don't understand how it works, manoeuvre the stock exchange in some manner. by suggesting something was going to be a jolly good tip, and then it turned out it wasn't a jolly good tip, and they'd got money on it themselves, and Piers Morgan was not involved in any way whatsoever. And now, please, because he's got very good lawyers.
Slightly the other way around. I mean, it turned out to be a very good tip. And what happened was they would buy the shares, then they'd go home and write about them and say, these are good shares to buy. And the next morning, people would buy them, and they went up.
Could we not do that? Could we not buy some shares?
On the
shares?
News quiz, no.
We just have to start a rumour about some shares being a very good buy, don't we? That, we're credible as financial commentators.
Oh, yeah. We go on after Moneybox. We're more credible than that, I can tell you.
It's just the word live after Moneybox. You just think, oh, it can't be.
Next week there'll be dormant Moneybox.
Former Daily Mirror financial journalists Anil Boyrell and James Hipwell have been found guilty of a breach of the Financial Services Act for tipping shares in their City Slickers column, shares they'd already invested in. Suspicions were first aroused about the two journalists' illegal income after Robert Maxwell asked them to bail him out. So at the end of round two, Andy and Fred have 8 points, but Alan and Sandy have nosed into the lead with 9 points.
Yes!
Before we start round three, here's an advertisement for a talk found on the University of Warwick campus.
What happens after you die? A free lunch followed by a short talk with time to ask questions.
Thanks to Neil Davis and Sandhurst for that. Andy, why are fishermen's knees turning to jelly?
Is it to do with jellyfish?
Yes.
Jellyfish as a sort of foodstuff?
No.
No.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
yes. Kind of.
They're eating them. They're very, very large jellyfish.
Ikizen-Dahara or something. Japanese.
Yes. Japanese jellyfish.
6 foot wide and 450 pounds, which I have to say, you need a big plate. they're the biggest jellyfish in the world, and what's happening is that they're breaking the nets of the Japanese baits.
If they're going to eat them but they can't get them out of the water, well, they're going to jump in and eat them.
They jump in and roll them towards the shore.
They weigh 450 pounds. Hell of a job getting a pair of chopsticks around that. I mean, they slice them first. Wouldn't you really want to eat
Ekizan,
that?
Ekizan... Have you got the proper name? Ekizan...
No, I have no idea what you're saying.
Launched a raid on... An invasion of giant jellyfish is attacking the Sea of Japan and devastating the livelihoods of Japanese fishermen. It's thought many of the jellyfish live in such remote waters, they don't even know the war is over. Fred, which hound dog will be getting a good genome this Christmas?
I remember when the G in gnome was silent, I have to say. A scientist in the States, for he's got nothing better to do, has been looking at the DNA of dogs. I think he's compared a boxer to a poodle, and they're very similar. I think 99% of their DNA is identical, but the boxer's got one other gene that says, "You call me a poof." And I would say that I am I am cautious about saying that I am a dog lover. you don't need to experiment on dogs to discover how their DNA works. I mean, basically, you know, they're made up of just one big gene that says, food! I come home from work and I've got two black labs and they're bound down the hall to me and you get the same greeting every time. You open the door and they're just going, "You got any food?" It was about 500 years ago, a Labrador missed a lunch. And they're not prepared to take the risk ever again.
I thought we knew that dogs are all the same anyway. Aren't they all basically 99.99% wolf?
Another 0.01% jellyfish.
Yeah.
Chimpanzees are 99.4% same DNA as us. Mm. Did you know that?
I've been out with a few.
Yeah. You wouldn't hang a man for a 0.6% mistake, would you?
I learned this week that the macaque monkey is the only primate that can yawn and scratch at the same time. Very strange. Yawns, which shows it's empathetic, but it also scratches as a derisory gesture. It was wonderful.
Yawning and scratching at the same time. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Like...
Yeah, but you're a human being. I mean, yeah. There are other things you can do as well. This one is still learning. Later on, it will do Sudoku, but at the moment... It's yawning and scratching.
I'm just worried that the monkeys are catching me up. That's all.
Years ago, I did a trip and I canoed across Africa. And everywhere I went, you wave. It's like a sort of host-season holiday. You wave to the indigenous people in their canoes. And, lovely. And they all had a dog with them. And it was a weird-looking dog. It was kind of a cross between a sort of a pit bull and a collie. It looked like the sort of dog would take your leg off and then run for help. And, charming. How charming. They've all got their dogs with them. And but no. In fact, what it is if a crocodile comes at you, they go, here, have the dog.
Oh, that is terrible. And the dog just thinks it's going for a nice boat ride.
He's like the Labrador. He's thinking, all right, the canoe today.
It's sending his head out the side of the canoe with his ears flapping. Faster! Come on, faster! What's that macaque monkey doing? Bored and itchy.
What if you could train macaque monkeys to do this programme? I think we'd better start acquiring some new skills.
Boxer bitch named Tasha will aid research into human and dog conditions thanks to a complete map of her genetic code, useful to scientists due to dog inbreeding over the centuries. Any breeders combine dog breeds so that a Labrador and a poodle makes a Labradoodle, a Schnauzer and a poodle makes a Schnoodle, but no one has yet bred a bulldog and a Shih Tzu. Sandy, what wooden idea proved a winner this week?
This is the Turner Prize. Simon Starling was walking along the Rhine one day and he saw somebody's shed and he nicked it. I think this is very strange. And he made it into a boat and he paddled to Basel and then he made it back into a shed again. And now it's won a lot of money, but I'm worried about the man whose shed it was. And it's not there anymore. But anyway, he's won the Turner Prize for the shed boat shed.
How did he nick a shed?
Well, he made it into a boat, and that's the cleverest way to nick a shed. you make it into a boat and row away, no one would think of it. They would go, where's my shed? I don't know, there's a man with a boat over there.
Which one? The one with the dog sitting out the side. I have to say, I must have come close to winning the Turner Prize with my shed bonfire ash.
This week, artist Simon Starling won the £25,000 Turner Prize with his piece Shed Boat Shed, so-called because he turned the shed into a boat, sailed it down the Rhine, and turned it back into a shed. The work is now, because of the prize, officially known as Shed Boat Shed Loads of Cash. Alan, whose batty research turned out to be a load of balls?
Here's a question I really don't want to answer, because I hope I'm not clever enough. I'm going to demonstrate. Bats have extremely large genitalia and very tiny brains. And scientists, with very fiddly little fingers, have worked out that there is an obverse correlation of this. That is, the bigger the balls, the smaller the brain power. That's why I wish I didn't know enough to answer that question. It says more about me than American Express ever can.
It must be a nightmare for a bat. If it's hanging upside down, it's got huge testicles, and it's going to be plummeting to the like floor of the cave, isn't it?
No wonder they can't see.
I'm sure they were male scientists. I'm sure no woman needed to go in a cave for months and months in order to discover that men can't have big brains and big genitalia at the same time.
Unlike a bat.
Now, if I was Batman, I wouldn't wear a mask.
Experiments carried out on bats by researchers at Syracuse University, New York, suggest an inverse relationship between mammalian cerebella and gonadal capacity, with mammals with larger brains having smaller testicles, whereas... Oh dear, I'm sorry, I'm just finding this answer far too difficult to follow. At least we now know why George Bush walks that way. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
This is from Peter Wright, and it's about Yob culture in Scandinavia. A drunken party of elks surrounded an old people's home in Sweden and had to be driven away by armed police. The elks attacked the home in the town of Östergötland near Malmö after devouring large numbers of fermented apples. It's not unusual for elks to get drunk, Forrester Fredrik Jonsson told the newspaper. They don't recognise the difference between fermented and not fermented and stuff themselves down to the last apple. There have been previous problems with elks. Last year, another elk in Sweden stole a bicycle from a garden. The bike was later found bent and damaged beyond repair.
Fred,
this is a Christmas gift of the week. A doctor is experimenting with a radical new contraceptive treatment, electric shocks to the testicles. Dr. Saya Bojovich, a fertility expert, says the small shock makes men temporarily infertile. We attach electrodes to either side of the testicles and send low currents through them, he explains. This stuns the sperm, putting them to sleep for up to 10 days. He hopes to have a small battery-powered testicle shocker ready by Christmas. And I rather hope he doesn't. Sandy.
This is from Dave Marshall, and it's from the Mansfield and Ashfield Observer, and it's in the local ads, and it's just between sunbeds and an ad for a bunny girl clairvoyant medium, which I imagine is her costume size. It's just the one Lonely Hearts advert. Terribly sweet. Dr. Adams, brackets Warsop, retired, 64, single, no car or TV, only interests my seven cats, classical and light music, church, home life, pipe smoking, seeks lady friend.
Alan.
Oh, it's from a letter in the Evening Standard, Simon. As both a teacher and a parent, I believe that compulsory sex education in primary schools would be divisive. Girls have a greater awareness of how their bodies work and would have no difficulty in coping as complexities increased. Boys would just find things getting harder and harder.
Thank you. Let's look now at the final score. Andy and Fred have a perfect score of 16, but in spite of that, Alan and Sandy have beaten them with 18 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from the West Sussex Gazette sent in by James Tolson.
A large congregation turned out to see Father Tim Madeley inducted as Dean of Arundel Cathedral. Sussex born and bred, Father Tim attended Catholic schools in Lewes, Horsham, Ifield and Crawley. He trained at St John's Guildford, after a spell working on building sites and exposing himself to as wide a range of people as possible.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Craig McCauley, Sandy Toksvig and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by George Foles, Simon Littlefield, Paul Carenza and Roderick Crooks. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell.